Welcome to the Co-Lavender Podcast, a podcast that talks about what is going on in the world we live in and how it affects queer folks.
Good evening, niggas. I'm Nyjah.
Wow. Coming out hot. All right. Coming out hot. Oh my God, we're back. We took a break for a week because a vacation, but we're back. I missed you all.
How was your trip?
It was great. So for the listeners, my husband and I took a 8-day cruise to the Bahamas to celebrate his birthday, but also our wedding anniversary. And so we took a cruise. We went on Royal Caribbean. Before I'm gonna give you like the deets of like Royal Caribbean, but I would say Royal Caribbean is not sponsoring us. This is not a paid advertisement. This is just my personal opinion. So we did a lot of research for the cruise, as y'all know. And we chose Royal Caribbean because that was the best, had the most pros out of compared to cons. And it was great. It was great food. Even the buffet was great food. And sometimes buffets are iffy. It was great food. The staff was impeccable. Like, you can definitely tell they train their staff to be like the Navy. Like, the staff was impeccable. And it was a great ship. It was a lot of entertainment. It was a lot of activities. The boat had a rock climbing wall, so we did that. It also had a surf simulator. We didn't get to do that, but we got to see people do it. They had bumper cars, roller skating, laser tag. There were three pools. There were two indoor pools, one outdoor pool, and one of the pools was adults only. So that was great. And we went to the Bahamas, and then we went to their private island, Coco Cay, which is also in the Bahamas. And then we went to Orlando for one of the days, which we didn't really do much. We only stepped off the boat for like 30 minutes, basically. And then we went back. But because ain't shit in Orlando. I mean, there's things to do in Orlando. There's like Disney World and Universal. But you don't have enough time off the boat to do all that. So we just stayed on the ship. But it was very fun. I had a great time. I'm back. We're back to reality.
Well, that's cool.
Not back to reality. Oh my God. It goes gravity. Oh, okay.
How did I know she was going to start with that?
But I will say that it's honestly, cruises are perfect for friend groups. So I can definitely see us doing a cruise. Like, there's so many activities that we can go on our own if we want. We can do a lot of things together. There's so much. You literally can eat all you want. So you can eat at every hour of the day because food is endless and it's included. So I think it's a great friend group thing. And
That would be great because literally my husband has been wanting to go on a cruise for I don't know how long. So he would absolutely love that. But yeah, that sounds like a good idea, although I'm kind of iffy on cruises myself, but, you know, it's whatever.
David, you will not fall off the cruise. Literally, honestly, David, to make you feel better, we don't even have to go on the balcony or, like, near the railing when you're there. Like, so there are plenty of spots in the ship.
Yeah, I've been on cruises before. I've been on a cruise before, and it was fun. Like, it was real cool. It's just that water is, man, that water's something else. I didn't even think about it until like at night, and then I looked out, and there was no light on the water. Like, it was pitch black. I ain't never seen nothing like that. But that's really awesome. So I guess I can talk about mine too. My last week or so. So Saturday was my birthday.
Happy Thank birthday. You. Yes. You're officially in your 30s. You.
That was fun. We did a little like hotel getaway thing. And then it was today. Today's Monday. So on my birthday, we went to get some steak. One of our friends, Lauren, shout out Lauren, came and ate with us. Because she came down and saw me on my birthday, so I appreciated that. And then, yeah, I've been off since Friday because, you know, I'm not working my birthday or any days near it. So, you know, what else? That's pretty much it. We just hung out for my birthday. We went to the mall. We did some other stuff. So, yeah, it was a good time.
That sounds great. And happy birthday again. I'm glad you had a great time. I'm sorry I missed it. You know, us living in separate cities, I miss a lot of birthdays. But you know, Nyjah,
what did I do this weekend? Last week was cool. Just, you know, work was pretty steady, so it wasn't too stressful because, you know, I'm back on my current team.
Oh, so, good.
Yeah. So things are pretty copacetic. And then the weekend. Saturday. So the same group of kids that I was with that we took on a field trip to a museum like a few weeks back. I told y'all about it. My mentor, she has this organ. She has a program called Books and Basketball. And so they officially took the program and now turned it into an actual like basketball team. And so, so they had their first round of games, over the past couple of weekends. And so I went, on Saturday and, saw them. They had two games back to back. So it was really fun to get a chance to kick it with the kiddos, and my mentor and everything be out there. And so hopefully I'll be able to, really be a little bit more hands-on with the kids. Because as you guys know, I'm all about youth advocacy and all that good stuff. And so being able to be hands-on with them will be fulfilling for me. And so, so I have that. And then also, what else did I do? Yesterday, I had Bible study and like a sister circle type of thing with my girls. And so I did that. And pretty much in between, just, you know, relaxed. Actually, Saturday was pretty busy even before I got to the game because I had to visit my CASA kid. I had to go to this award ceremony in the morning. Saturday was pretty busy. But that was my weekend. It was pretty productive. I did a lot.
It's giving success. Shout outs. We have one. Congrats to the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 16. But spoiler alert, so if you're listening to this, it's going to be a spoiler alert, listeners, spoiler alert, the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 16, America's Best Drag Superstar, is Nymphia Wind. Jesus.
Damn.
Nymphia Wind took the crown. But our fave, Safira, was the runner-up.
Oh, I wanted her to win so bad.
Me too. She had a good showing. She did really well in the season. Her finale performance was great. The final lip sync was neck and neck, pretty much. Ian and I and Brian had discussed. We think that Nymphia won because, one, Nymphia comes from Taiwan originally, so, like, RuPaul's Drag Race is a business, and they're like, oh, if we get a winner from Taiwan, we can make a Taiwan a franchise. I think that was part of it. I also think Nymphia had the jinx, and compared to, like, Nymphia grew, even though Nymphia runways were always great in the season, but she was like shy and then she came out of her shell. And I feel like that was part of it. And also Nymphia is one of the first Asian winners since Raja. So, but yeah, so we wanted Saphira to win. Saphira did a great job. Yeah, Plain Jane was cut right before the top two.
Thank God.
Yeah, so.
It's congeniality.
Oh, now get this. So, Miss Congeniality, it was a tie. It was Tsunami Muse and Saphira.
Just have to figure that it would have to be Saphira, like, if she did not win, because she just gives, like, congeniality, like, vibes.
Oh, yeah, she was a mother hen. Well, we didn't think she was going to win because back then the rules were queens who were not in the finale were up for Miss Congeniality. If you were in a finale, you weren't eligible. But this year they changed it and the girls voted for Saphira. So Saphira won it. So she's the first ever person to make it to the finale and win Miss Congeniality.
Yeah. Okay, so our girl got something, but yeah, I could see her coming back for All Stars.
Oh, she would demolish. Unless, like, some bitch votes her off because she's good competition. You know how All Stars is.
Messy queens. Messy.
Messy queens. And I think that's all our Given Success shout-outs. And our quote, I didn't know whose turn it was for the quote, so I just put one in. Unless they're paying your bills, pay those bitches no mind. And that is from RuPaul himself.
I mean, but that's true though. You ain't paying my bills. Like, I ain't studying you.
It was true. All right. Now we're gonna get into some juicy topics, okay? Before that, we're gonna take a quick break, though, because I know that these topics are gonna make us talk for a long time. So let's take a break. Welcome to the Color Lavender Podcast, a podcast that talks about what is going on in the world we live in and how it affects queer folks.
There should be a crime against delusion.
And then she'll do all the shit. She did Roman's Revenge and she did Roman Reloaded, Roman Unloaded, Roman Catholic.
She was like, he's a soft as Care Bear pussy.
New episodes every Wednesday on your favorite podcast platform. And we're back.
And we're back.
All right. So, okay. Our first topic is about a certain comedian named Gerard Carmichael, who people may know. He is a Black, queer, male comedian who hosted the Golden Globes a couple of years ago. I think it was 2022. But he's also known for, like, his stand-up. That's what he's really known for, and that's what's his claim to fame. Gerard Carmichael decided to have a reality show on HBO Max. It's called the Gerard Carmichael Reality Show. However, it's not filmed like a reality show. It's kind of filmed like a docuseries about his private life. So, it comes out every Friday at 11 p.m. on Max. And one thing I want to start off by saying is that this show is very personal, to the point where it kind of is slightly uncomfortable how personal he gets in the show. Like, I would have never thought someone would put this on camera.
Can I start, please?
But we'll talk about it. But it's very personal.
I don't know where to really begin. Because there's this, a lot to talk about. I wanted to talk about the actual documentary. First of all.
Yeah, sure. One thing. Go ahead.
I wasn't that familiar with Gerard Carmichael before the docuseries or whatever you want to call it. But after watching about half the first episode, I was not a fan of his. And I couldn't really figure out why. I was like, he's just very unlikable, and I didn't understand why until I kept watching, and then got to episode 2 and episode 3. And I said, oh, that's why I don't like him. The documentary was a hard watch for me. Because I don't know if y'all know this, but when it comes to personal topics like that, they make me uncomfortable, honestly. So that's just my thoughts on it. It just kind of made me pretty uncomfortable. So it was difficult for me to get through. I'll reserve the rest of my thoughts until after y'all say, but that's kind of my first thoughts on it.
I was familiar already with Gerard because he had a show that was on Fox, I believe, for a couple of seasons called the Carmichael Show, where they tackled a lot of stuff. And this was like, yeah, and this was at the time when Trump became president, or like when he was running for president. So they were getting into politics and, you know, all of the stuff about, you know, Black Republicans, like really getting in, you know, into the nitty gritty. I would say, honestly, that Gerard kind of, he reminds me of a Dave Chappelle, in terms of his style of comedy. So like when watching, it's more like a dialogue, like a conversation. It's not like he's just sitting here with like jokes, like here's setting you up for a joke, and then here's just this punchline, and just like constantly, you know, going through the motions with that. Like, there's a lot of, he's really giving you so much of himself, and being very introspective. So he kind of reminds me of Chappelle. I know that, you know, kind of saying that is like, especially because, you know, Chappelle is not liked by the queer community, but if we're just looking at the style of comedy, he kind of reminds me of that. As far as like, as I was watching, yeah, there were definitely parts where I'm like, okay, I appreciate your vulnerability. I appreciate your awkwardness, because Gerard is very awkward.
Very.
Yeah. But at the same time, there were definitely moments where he was unlikable. And I'm like, okay, I think that you, but what I will say is, even through those moments where he's unlikable, he's working through it. So it's like, it's not like he's like, I'm an asshole and I'm just going to stay being an asshole, and whoever doesn't like it, then whatever. Like, no, he actually, what I appreciate is the fact that while we're watching everything, he's really compartmentalizing, you know, his feelings. There was a part where he was, you know, talking to therapists and really trying to figure things out in terms of relationships. So I will say that he was proactive in trying to really regulate his emotions about things, especially when he had to have, you know, harder conversations, you know, when it came down to his queerness as it pertains to his parents and family and stuff. But I can see, David, I can see like where, you know, he became unlikable. So that's what I have so far, and then I'll circle back.
I was hesitant going into the show because I didn't know Gerard Carmichael until he hosted the Golden Globes. And I knew he was a known comedian, but I didn't know really much about him. I remember when he hosted the Golden Globes, it was one of the most awkward hostings I've ever seen. And I was like, oh God, I don't know why they chose him to do this show. But then I watched this show and I was like, ah, okay, that's his comedic style. Like, that just who we, I got who he was and what he was trying to do at the Golden Globes. Also, side note, award shows, especially acting award shows, anyone who hosts, it's awkward. And it's not because of the host. It's honestly because, like, actors are just horrible audiences. Like, actors, Hollywood actors, when they're in the audience, they're fucking boring. So I understand how most hosts of, like, the Oscars and Golden Globes hate doing it, because like it's incredibly awkward, because honestly Hollywood actors are like pretty boring outside their roles. But anyway, so when I went in hesitant, but I went in because a coworker had told me to watch it. She was like, Paul, you need to watch it. I think you will like it. And I was like, all right. Because, you know, like, especially you hesitate when people tell you that. You're like, oh, God. So I watched it. And I do like it. And there are, I will agree, he's incredibly awkward. And there are points where I was like, why is this being filmed? And why are there cameras here? And he kind of explains a little bit in episode 4, the one that just came out. We'll talk about it. But of why he has cameras there. But I liked it. And I think the reason I liked it was because I saw a lot of myself in him. And I know that might sound weird. That might sound weird because we're completely different people. However, I understood his circumstances because we have very similar circumstances. And one of those circumstances we're going to talk about with rejection. But I like it. There are some unlikable points, especially in episode 3. We'll talk about what the whole wedding thing that was. Ooh, his friend. Shout out to his friend who has the patience and the forgiveness, because that was wild. But I like the show. Also, I think I like it because, like, you really, there aren't any shows out that show Black men, queer men, as the main focal point. Like, we don't really see that. If it's a queer show, it was usually like a queer white character or like the queer Black character. Like, the last time we had like a queer Black show was Pose.
Yeah. And I think, like, so.
And Pose, something like that. And Pose was like an emotional roller coaster because it was during like the AIDS epidemic. The ballroom scene, like, it was a lot to handle. But that, what, Pose ended in 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't had anything since. So I like that, you know, there we have this.
Admittedly, I don't know. Listen. You don't have to date. You are not owed dating somebody, right? Like, people date you if they want to date you, whatever. But the part of me kind of feels like I think Tyler could have handled that a little bit more delicately. You know, I get that there's a time to joke, but like, I don't know. I just kind of feel like he could have handled that differently. It just seemed like he didn't really take it seriously, which, like, I guess is okay, but, like, just the way that he kind of responded to it wasn't great. And then, like, when Gerard told him, like, you didn't really respond, he kind of also didn't really respond to saying that. Like, it was just weird. You know, I guess people have, like, different ways of responding to things that make them uncomfortable, but I just kind of felt like that was a weird response, especially if you claim to be best friends with somebody. Like, you know, I don't know. I just thought that was a very strange way to respond to somebody saying that they like you. And then for them to bring it up and you just kind of like dismiss them was, I just thought that was weird.
I initially was very angry at Tyler, and I think we talked about this, especially with Nyjah over text. I do think Tyler could have handled it differently. However, I do see Tyler's point of view. Like,
yeah, I get that too.
As a person who has told a straight friend that I had feelings for him and it was incredibly awkward, I can see how the friend receiving that doesn't know what to do, so they make it into a comedic moment. I can see that. A lot of people turn awkwardness into comedy. Literally, I think that's how 90% of comedians do their work.
Yeah.
Is like they talk about their trauma through comedy or like uncomfortable things through comedy. And I think that's what Tyler did. Now, you know, there could be a story of Tyler in front of the camera, what we saw, and it could be they could have had another conversation outside of the cameras that we don't know. What we saw. It was very awkward. I think Gerard was very vulnerable. You can tell in his eyes when he was looking at Tyler joking that he was like, oh my God. But
If I tell somebody I have feelings for them and they say, no, I'm not interested, I'm good with that. I can live with that. That ain't no problem. It's the opposite. When somebody feels that way and I don't, and then I have to reject, it is, I feel like for most people, it's the opposite of that. So like, it's easy for them to dish it out, but not so easy for them to take it. I'm actually the opposite, but I don't know if everyone else is like that. So yeah, that was awkward.
So when I found out that the friend was Tyler, that honestly didn't shock me because Tyler is really good friends with, like, he's a, if you're familiar with Tyler, he's a creative at heart, and he's one of those people that his music, like, if you know, y'all know I'm all about Substance and stuff. Now there's a clear difference between like what he does now versus when he was with Odd Future. Earlier when we were first introduced to Tyler, and we would have all been in like high school at this time when he first came on the scene. And so just the level of maturity that he has within his art and how he goes about music, he's really good friends with Solange. He's good friends with ASAP Rocky. These are like really artsy people. So I could see how him and Gerard would end up, would be friends. Now, as far as like, the conversation at hand, also knowing Tyler, I'm just like, this, the way he handled it is very Tyler-esque, because Tyler literally, like, I've never seen Tyler be serious for real, like, for real, like, he turns, like, everything is comical, literally everything. Even times if he does try to be serious, there's still an undertone of humor, and so he always handles everything that way. And so it wasn't shocking that that's how he handled it. My thing is, they initially had a conversation before this conversation that made it to the show. And I guess my thing, and this is a thing that everyone goes through, honestly, so this is not an indictment on Gerard. But I think that with Gerard, though, he's like, it's like when he needs an answer, he needs it now. And so with that, there comes a certain level of urgency. And I think that he has like certain expectations as to how the conversation should go. And I think that honestly, like you notice that about him throughout the entire series. That there's just like he goes into conversations with a certain level of expectations of what he thinks is going to be. And it's like, dude, you're dealing with some complicated topics with complicated people. It's not going to go like, you know, because it's kind of like we all do it. Like, you know how sometimes mm-hmm. you're like, okay, I have to have a serious conversation with somebody. I have to have this confrontation. And so you're thinking about like all the outcomes or, you know, what they could possibly say, trying to kind of get ahead of what they could possibly say, you know, so that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not an indictment. So I feel like that's kind of like what was happening in that conversation as well. Me personally, I probably would have kept that conversation off of the show just because it's like, if you've already been rejected off camera, do you want to deal with that level of rejection again while you're still adjusting to your queerness, while you're also adjusting to dating life and everything, and you're adjusting to, you know, family life. Like, there's so many things and so many adjustments that he's making all at once. Like, it's one big jump. So I'm like, I don't know if I would have had that conversation on camera. And so, yeah, so, I mean, and I also agree that, you know, maybe Tyler probably could have handled it in another way, but I don't know. It's one of those things for me where it's like, you kind of can't tell someone how to handle something. You kind of just got to like, let everything come out and then figure out a way to navigate if you can. So yeah, that's kind of what I got out of it. I don't know like what the state of their relationship is at this very moment. Yeah.
I also think like it wasn't a good idea for Gerard to invite Tyler as his date for the Emmy Awards. I was like, that's too soon. Also, if you're going to the Emmy Awards as an Emmy nominee, that's a monumental moment of your life. And Gerard ends up winning. But I honestly, I would not have asked a crush of mine to go with me. I think I would definitely ask someone who is I'm comfortable, who's comfortable with me or close enough with me, who I don't have any emotion, like a romantic affiliation with. If I was single, I would take a, you know, very close friend or a parent or a family member. I just thought that was odd. I get why he wanted to ask him to the Emmys. It's like, oh, this is a big step, but like that was not a good idea. And I felt like he let this of Tyler not going to the Emmys with him maybe, you know, darken his moment, because he ended up winning. And I don't know if he actually enjoyed the win, or is he still thinking about his Tyler? I don't know.
From what I gathered, honestly, the way that... What's this? Gerard seems like the type of person where he basks in whatever's happening for a while. It marinates on his spirit. Like, he's not somebody where he can kind of like, okay, you know what? It is what it is. Let me just go over here and handle business and handle this. It's like this stuff just kind of lingers with him. And we see it. We literally see it, like, just from his day to day and from what he showed us, it lingers. So I feel like it probably did really darken it up.
I think he ended up going with his friend, the friend who didn't want to be on camera, who like wore the ski mask.
He got on my nerves.
He did get on my nerves because I'm like, if you don't want to be on camera that badly,
why are you just doing too much
on the show? Like,
thank you.
Like, if you truly are anti reality, then you would have been like, Gerard, I don't want to be on the show. We can talk through text or phone, but I don't want to be like, for you to put on the ski mask and glasses. Boy, you were doing the most.
And like distorted his voice. Like he sounded like the Blur. Like, you know, like when like the witness on the news, when it's like dark and they gotta like put all the extra stuff on his voice.
Yep.
It's like you're literally like a live enactment of this. Like, dude, just go, okay, so we get it. People don't want to do it, but my thing is, you know, if you're close enough to Gerard, you know what his expectation is for this show. You know what he wants to do. You know that he is really introspective and wants the show so much. Then take your ass on. Like, you sitting over here doing this, it's like you trying to create. I kind of felt like he was like turning things into like making it about himself somehow.
I agree. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in the first two episodes, but episode three was, she was a focal point. And this also, when you find out Gerard's ways with his friends in general, and how he actually isn't the best friend at all. Like, he's not a really great friend. But, okay, before we get to that friend, I want to say this. At the beginning of the episode, you find out that he was the best man of one of his friends' wedding. The friend told him to pick up his tux at Men's Warehouse. Gerard, in his fashion, who's now rich, felt like Men's Warehouse was beneath him. So he was like, no, fuck that. I'm going to get a tux from Tom Ford. So he gets a tux from Tom Ford that does not match any of the colors in the wedding. And
oh my God, yeah, as that was...
going to the wedding, his friend is like, it's a black shirt, not a white shirt. You have the wrong shirt on. So Gerard goes to try to find a black shirt at a mall or something, and he's not successful. Come to fucking find out, this dude misses the ceremony.
And then 10 minutes, and then 10 minutes before the ceremony, he outside eating a damn hot dog.
Hot dog! Eating a damn hot dog. And he still didn't change his damn shirt.
So he showed up and still had... Even when he made it up to his friend and went to the house, I mean, bitch, you still ain't got a black shirt.
Still didn't have the black shirt.
Cracked me up was when that one friend said, you're not even an A-list celebrity.
Yeah.
Took me out. No one can read you the filth like a friend.
Mm-hmm. Because we know the real shit. Like, you can pump fake with everybody else. Yeah. she overstepped her bounds a lot. First of all, you come over, okay, fine. So he's thinking like, okay, so you're going to be here for like a couple weeks, but you got a whole bunch of stuff. He obviously, like, obviously there was a disconnect between what the expectation was in terms of how long you were going to stay. Then not only do you stay for a long time, but you got that man place looking all types of messy. Like, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, no, get off your ass and clean up. Because you don't have a job. You're not contributing financially to his shit at all. The least you can do is make sure that his place is in order. Because he's a clean, you know, he's a clean, like a clean person. Like, you really didn't see anything that was like out of place or really bad or anything like that before she got there. So why is it that you are sitting right there on the couch with all of this stuff all over the place and he's sitting here cleaning up and you can, and the thing about it is, she is so oblivious because he looks very uncomfortable. Then you playing music loud as hell when he trying to read and shit like that. Like, hold on, there was just such a lack of consideration on her part, and it really, really pissed me off. I'm like, okay, we can say what we want about Gerard. Yes, he definitely got some issues when it comes down to it. But ma'am, he is still nice enough to let you stay. Also, he is trying to help you figure things out in terms of your acting career and everything and all of this. And then you're talking about, oh, can you go give me a chai tea latte and all this other stuff and whoop-de-woo and everything? Like, ma'am, hold the fuck up. He is not, you, no, you're not the A-list celebrity. You're not a celebrity at all. You, ma'am, you are a friend. But more importantly, you are a person that is occupying somebody else's space. So you need to have a little bit more respect here. And you need to be cleaning up after yourself. And that's how you contribute to his place overall until you actually have some type of income, because that to me was ridiculous. I'm like, how old are we? And Gerard, why are you not saying anything to her about it? Like, it was just like, you need, what are you doing? Both of them was getting on my nerves that episode.
And Gerard did a favor for her. Gerard called someone in the industry and was like, hey, can you see my friend for an audition?
The thing that I found interesting though is I'm like, okay, we are really watching someone who has the desire to be good to their boyfriend. And even, you know, his girl best friend was like, oh, like this is the first time that you've ever said boyfriend, because he's never said that before. And so like this is a whole new thing for him. And then it's like he's also trying to adjust to actually being a boyfriend himself. And then, but at the same time, dealing with the accessibility that's out there in terms of sex and, you know, just all the choices, you know, because I mean, Gerard might not be, he might not be A-list. And and I noticed that the people that were talking to him or his hookups, they didn't know who he was. You know, that was a thing too. They were like, so what do you do? And all this other stuff. But there is still an accessibility because, I mean, as long as you have apps and stuff like that, you know, things are more accessible nowadays where you don't necessarily have to like leave, you know, and go out of your way to do much to get someone. So watching him go through the motions with the desire of wanting to be a boyfriend, even so much as to going to therapy. He's very clingy. He's very emotional and he's extremely vulnerable with all of that, but at the same time, not being able to, well, actually no, getting down to the root of, why he's a sex addict or like why, you know, cause he was like, he talking about some, in one of the sessions, he was like, yeah, you know, I was doing stuff and I was like three, with people, you know, with older boys. And I was like, wait a minute. Let's not gloss over that. That's not normal now. And then saying like, oh, I probably had sex with like 1,000 people because of, you know, just like once he really started having sex and even going through high school, like, you know, going through high school and having to hide that part of himself, but yet, you know, still going out and doing that. It's like, you know, that level of validation, I think, you know, that he was yearning for. And I guess it's like, you know, how he would feel important is through sex and stuff. And so, yeah, I will say that, you know, he's wrong. No matter what, he's in the wrong because here's somebody that, you know, is traveling back and forth Because y'all are doing this long distance thing, and you know, he's making the time to come to see you and all this other stuff. And so obviously there's a shift in his schedule and in his life, so that way he can accommodate you. And it's like, when he's not there, you're that damn clingy and you need that much affection or a feeling, to the point where you have to go out of your way to cheat and everything, you know. So I do appreciate the fact that he knows it's a me thing, like it's him, like he's not blaming it on the boyfriend, because you know, people be quick, real quick, like, well, you made me cheat. At least I can say that he's taking, you know, accountability somewhere in there. But at the same time, sir, you need to buckle down, because this person really cares about you, and you're really like, you're just all over the place.
So we meet the dad in episode 4. And in the previous episodes, you kind of get a glimpse of Gerard talking about how his parents reacted to him coming out, and it wasn't that great. His parents are very religious. I think their response to him coming out was kind of some of probably the worst you can expect from a response, meaning like, you're going to hell, how dare you, this is against God's will, blah, blah, blah. The typical for a religious parent hearing their child is gay. But Gerard and his father go on a road trip to Gerard's father's hometown, where he was born and raised, which is in North Carolina?
South
Carolina. We find out some stuff, though.
Mm-hmm.
Some tea. His father's driving, and Gerard is on the passenger seat, and they're talking about Gerard's queerness and like his boyfriend. Ooh.
The funniest part about that entire episode was when he sat up there and he was explaining to his dad the different categories of men. Like talking about, oh, you could be a bear, or you could be like a whatever the fuck. I can't remember all the stuff.
A daddy. He started off by, he was like, yeah, you can be a daddy. And his dad was like, what's a daddy?
That's insane.
And he was like, you know, someone who's older, like you, or like, imagine Brad Pitt older, like now with his salt and pepper hair. Like, you could be a daddy. And then he goes on about what a bear is, what an otter is, what a twonk is, what a twink is.
Thing is, like, you can literally see in his dad's face that he was trying to like comprehend what's happening. And he was like, wait, that's explain wild. It to me again.
that was so hilarious. Also, Gerard and his like Bojangles thing, he was like, oh, I want Bojangles. They end up going to, I don't even know how many Bojangles they want to go on, because Gerard has this thing where if he sees the rating of their health inspection and it's lower than his standard, he won't eat there. So
they went to like 3 of them.
Yeah. So he eventually, so like one of them was like 93%. One of them was like 92%. And then he went to one that was 97%. He was like, okay, this is fine.
Mm-hmm. I said, you got this man traveling all over this place. I'm like, how far are these Bojangles from each other?
Right. that was funny. But then we get to the serious part. Well, there were some good parts. Like, they get to his hometown. His father's explained, like, what the town looked like. There was a dirt road. Now it's like a paved road. He was talking about like how his grandmother would like come home and like he would spend time with his grandmother. They met up with some of his family members, and they talked about like how old they were when they found out Martin Luther King Jr. was killed. And like,
they
didn't know who he was. So yeah, so there were some good points in some fun times. But then we get to the serious part, where the skeletons start coming out the closet, and they talk about his dad's infidelity growing up, and not only was it just infidelity, that's terrible. His father had another family. He had 4 children with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
That Gerard did not know about. And didn't tell him. So, like, you had your son going to school with your other children and didn't even bother to say anything? That was fucked up. And I was like, okay, this brings up like a lot of things that Gerard learned or seeing how his father was. And Gerard approached him about it. And Gerard was you can tell he was upset. And his father did not want to talk about it. His father was like, why are you bringing up the past? Why are we doing this? We're trying to have a good time. Why are you doing it? I knew this would happen. You were just waiting for this. And Gerard goes off.
Gerard read that man for filth. He was like, he said, hold the fuck up. First of all, you don't get to ridicule me and basically tell me about myself in terms of me coming to you with this information and, you know, wanting to talk about this, especially when your tactic was to do nothing. You literally have done nothing. You have not said anything. You have just lived your life, a double life at that, while you over here got these kids and then you got me and mom and all this other stuff. And now you got the audacity to sit in front of me and tell me that I could have came to you about this. I'm coming to you now. And you don't even want to face the music. Like, I commend Gerard. He was not having it with Pops that night. He was like, oh no, you're not going to run from this. And you most certainly are not going to try to critique my way of doing it. And then, because Paul, you had brought up earlier about like, when Gerard, you know, the reason why he wants to do things with the cameras on and stuff. And so he actually touched on that. You know, during that verbal confrontation with his dad about like, okay, if I want to do it with the cameras on and everything, this is my life. I want to be able to, you know, like, this is how I am compartmentalizing things and how I'm seeing, you know, like I'm seeing things through my lens or whatever, other stuff too. But like, you know, it's like at the end of the day, you can't say shit to me if you weren't doing shit. You were going to sit there and just keep that and tuck it and not say anything at all. Meanwhile, I'm walking around here not knowing who my siblings are and you just living your life and doing whatever it is that you want to do. So yeah, he definitely did not allow him. He didn't let his dad back him into a corner. And of course his dad tucked his tail when it came to that. He's like, I'm ready to go home. And the thing is too, because before we even get to that, because that's the tail end of the episode. But at some point, you know, he did apologize to, because we didn't touch on this yet.
Yeah.
But he did apologize to him about like, listen, if I made you feel like blah, 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 didn't accept you and this, this, and the third, like, I love you, you're my son, I will always love you no matter what. And so I think that was definitely something that Gerard needed at that, they were sitting down, I think they were getting ready to eat. And so that was something that he definitely needed. I will say that, you know what, because there's that hypocrisy, because it's like, you sitting here, you got so much to say about Gerard in terms of his lifestyle or you know, things in the beginning. Like, you, there was obviously this thing where you weren't accepting, you know, before. But yet, look at the type of stuff that you're doing. And then also, he was like, you know, he told him, he's like, you know, I cheat on my boyfriend and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, what is you cheating on your boyfriend got to do with me? Because I learned this shit from you. You were living a whole nother life. Like, so there's things that his dad definitely kind of like, you know, basically taught him involuntarily, because he didn't know that Gerard was paying attention, but he learned some stuff from his dad. And then I will say that from what I can see, that his dad, and now getting away from like that part of the conversation, but going back to like Gerard's queerness, I will say that his dad seems to be more open to trying to understand him in that world in comparison to the mom. Because the mom, she's just we just gonna pray the gay away and all this other bullshit or whatever. And you know, Paul, we've had this conversation where a lot of times people don't like to talk about toxic femininity, especially as it pertains to a Black woman and how she treats her child when she finds out that her child is gay. Because like, Black women can be real hard on their sons or just harsh. Yeah. And so we've had that conversation. So I definitely can feel, and you can speak more to this, but I was like, you know what? I kind of feel like his dad is a little bit more open to understanding now in comparison to the mom.
Yeah. He told his father, he was like, imagine knowing that you're not welcomed at your home, at your parents' home. You can't bring your boyfriend there. You can't bring the person you love there. And it's a home that I'm paying for.
Mm-hmm. That one cut deep.
Yeah, he did that. And you can definitely tell his father was like, he was like hurt and like felt like, what's the word?
A piece of shit. Mm-hmm.
No, like more like it hurt his pride. That's what I meant to say. But yeah, I knew that. I knew his hurt. I felt for this episode because I know what that felt like. Like I don't have Gerard Carmichael's money, but but yeah, but I don't have his money. But I understood everything, and I understood how he was angry and what he, you know, what he said, and
yeah,
you know. And it comes to a point where you're, especially Black parents, it comes to a point where, and I learned this in therapy, was that there's a point where your parent, they are at a point where that's all you can do. They're not changing. Or they're not, they're just never going to be ready to accept accountability. Mm-hmm. And that's something I learned in therapy. It was very hard to learn. But, you know, it's to a point where there are times where they just never going to be held accountable. They're never going to feel bad about it. They're never going to change.
Yeah, that's why with me, and, you know, Paul, you know more about my relationship with my mom in comparison to David. But that level of rejection that you feel from your parent is a different animal, because it's like, I'm your kid. Like, I don't even know, like we're talking, there is a physical connection because you carried me. There is an emotional connection because naturally you know, people become emotionally and spiritually connected to the child, you know, while they're holding them and stuff. And then just for me to get here, and this is, it's like, I don't even know. But right now, like, I'm in that space of internal reconciliation. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes closure doesn't require you talking to someone, because that can do more harm than good. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when you know that you're dealing with someone, like to your point, who avoids accountability, who doesn't want to have certain conversations. When you know how that person is, it's only going to upset you even more while you're in the space of healing and trying to figure things out on your own. So for me, that's the space that I'm in. I'm like, you know what? I know that the people that I need to talk to, they don't apologize. They don't take accountability or onus for their behavior. Therefore, I have to just go through this internally. Like, I have to compartmentalize and regulate my own emotions about it and find peace, which I have been doing. And I can honestly say, like, I've been finding peace within from a lot of situations from childhood and stuff. Also, like, I know that my connection is a little bit deeper, like, because I've always had to be a parent. So like, my relationship with my mom is like, it's not just like her as a parent to the daughter, it's also in reverse as well. So yeah, we both have, you know, we both parent each other. But I've never been able to just be a daughter. And so there's a lot of like that emotional stuff, but like, yeah, there's this thing. I'm like, you know what? This is who she is. And I can't fight her battles for her. And I can't come to this battle that we have with each other. I can't do it. So I just kind of have to go through the motions by myself. And I do that through therapy. I do that through Bible study. I do that through, you know, just growing in my own personal village, talking to you, talking to my close friends and stuff. Like, literally, like, we have this image of what closure is supposed to be, but closure looks different for everybody. And sometimes closure is just reconciling things on your own, especially when you're dealing with folks who don't want to deal with things.
Afro-Latina singer Ludmilla, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, performed at Coachella and was the first Afro-Latina performer to be on the main stage at Coachella. So congrats to her. And, well, during a performance, she brings her wife on stage and they have a kiss, which is cute. Great. Now, many people took to social media to celebrate this performer's queerness and being openly visible with her wife, but also at the same time managed to compare her to another big name in the music industry that's also known to, who's also part of the community, Victoria Monet, who has come out as bisexual. but they think that Victoria Monet is not a good representative of bisexuality because she's married to a cis man and she has a child.
Okay. So, yeah, I know a lot of other bisexual people who deal with the same thing, who hear, you know, whether they're in heterosexual relationships, whether they're in, you know, queer relationships, they hear from one side or the other, like, oh, you have to pick one and, you know, you have to be this and you have to be that. And it's like, no, you can be whatever you want. But it just upsets me because who in the hell are you to tell me who I'm supposed to be attracted to and how I'm supposed to present that? It's ridiculous. It's really hard to deal with, you know, in some cases. What I'll say too is, speaking on, because I spoke on this topic, you know, maybe a couple of episodes ago, I can't remember, but there is also this stuff going around about, you know, should you date a bisexual man, which, you know, one thing about our community, black community, that we can't stand is we tend to have the same conversations every 3 to 5 damn business days, but that's another story. That just gets on my nerves. But the same conversation about, you shouldn't date a bisexual man, and I'm not going to do that, and it's a preference. And, you know, my whole thing is, I feel like some of these Negroes didn't graduate, that some of these Negroes must have got failing grades in English, because they keep using this word preference and not knowing what it is. So let me read off the definition of preference in case any of y'all, I ain't dating bisexual men, are listening. So the definition of preference is a greater liking for one alternative over another or others. I am a bisexual man who has a preference for men. Anywhere in that sentence, did you hear me say I don't like women? I am a person, for anybody who knows me. I love hamburgers. That's my favorite food. If you put a hamburger in front of me, I will eat it. I'm just telling you. I prefer hamburgers to hot dogs. Anywhere in that sentence, did you say, I don't eat hot dogs? No, I happen to like hot dogs. The two of you, Nyjah and Paul, both of you are into men. Nyjah, you're heterosexual, according to everything I've heard, and something could have changed. And Paul, you're gay. That means that there's no preference. You, in order to date and marry or sleep with a person, that person is required to be a man. There's no preference involved. That's a requirement. So I just wish people would stop using words that they don't understand. And then when you call them out for being biphobic, they're like, oh, no, I'm not. Isn't it interesting how people exhibit behaviors that are biphobic and homophobic and transphobic? They talk up and down about them being able to have an opinion, and as soon as somebody puts a name to it, now they want to be offended. Like, I have so much more to say on this topic, but I don't want this podcast to go for 3 hours, so I'm just going to say this. Bisexuality is a real thing. It's a wonderful thing. You know, people are allowed to have a preference either way, men or women. They're allowed to have no preference at all when it comes to bisexuality. You know, so I'm just going to leave it there because, you know, I feel like this seems to be a very simple topic, but people either don't want to listen or are just not intelligent enough to understand. And that's just me. So that's all I got for this.
But gay men hate the fact that another person in the queer community has the option to fit in with the GP and to be in a hetero relationship. This is why they have a hard time with bisexual men. Like, anyway, I'm gonna just leave it there.
But this reminds me of Paul. You remember? And I'm not gonna say no names. Well, I'm gonna just mention Sharia. You remember when we was here and when you were at my apartment, and we were on Facebook and we scrolled and we seen a fellow coworker, and we're like, wait a minute, we thought that they were gay. And so we talked to what did you say? They are. They just prefer to be in a heterosexual relationship.
That conversation... That conversation was wild. And you know what's crazy, Nyjah? I was just thinking about this person the other day.
Wow.
That's crazy. Okay. I was just thinking about this person the other day. But that was a wild conversation. And the thing that is that Sharia said this in a very, like, serious and, like, not unfazed tone. She was like, mm-hmm, yeah, they're, you know, they're gay, mm-hmm. But yeah, like
it was very matter of fact. Like, wait a minute. So yeah, that all of what y'all just said, it really reminded me of that.
Only recs I have is that for those who have not seen it, I do encourage you to go watch the Jerrod Carmichael show on HBO Max. It's only 4 episodes right now, so it's a quick watch. And I don't have anything else, I don't believe. Oh, no, never mind. Okay, that's it. That's it, y'all. We'll see y'all next week. Also, don't forget, we are now opening our podcast up to listeners. If you have anything to send us, you want advice, you want something, a topic that you want us to talk about, please send your request to tclavenderpodcast@gmail.com. That's tclavenderpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can DM us on Instagram for your, if you have any advice or anything, or want us to talk about a topic or request a topic, do all that. We are now accepting those. So thank you so much, everyone. We'll see you next week, and ciao for now. Thank you.